We're kind of moving into this, and it's going to begin with the pleasures of prayer. I'm going to talk about the pleasures of prayer. You know, it's not a chore. It can actually be the most pleasurable thing you can experience. And tonight we're not going to talk about that. We're going to continue in Revelation, but I believe that I'm going to be focusing on the pleasures of God. God wants His people to experience Him in the pleasures, in the delights of His presence. And Gnosticism has influenced the church to where we have segregated and had this line of demarcation between our physical senses and the spirit or the mind. And it's become where it's been an intellectual Christianity in a lot of ways. But God has created us with all of our emotions. And the great, and what God wants us to do is derive our greatest pleasure from Him. Come on. It is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants us to derive our greatest pleasure from Him. Worshiping God, come on, is pleasurable. If it wasn't and people are doing it, then it's, in a sense, they're being a hypocrite. Because they're doing something and they're putting on like it's something pleasurable when it's not to them. But they're doing it because, well, we're supposed to, aren't we? God commanded it. How many know God doesn't want you to worship Him because He commands worship? Does God command worship? Think about that. He desires that we would love Him. The greatest commandment of all is that we would love God. Now, you can't love a God who's impersonal. You can't love a God who's just a God of wrath and angry and doesn't want you to have pleasure but wants you to suffer all the time. I mean, what kind of worship would that be? Help! I want you to know something. Gnosticism has infiltrated the church, and it's gone on for a long time. It's been there for a long time. The enemy has robbed God's people of the pleasures of knowing Him, the pleasures of worshiping Him, the pleasures of walking with Him, the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
Where we've made sometimes, there's even books out there that are against emotions. Like it's sinful to have emotional experiences with God, ecstasies. And the devil has been saying, right on, keep writing them books. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer them a pleasure in the world that what they've been experiencing is going to pale to. Because they have not understood the pleasures of God. Therefore, they're going after idols and they're finding them their pleasures in lesser things. See, God's not opposed to pleasure, but God is opposed to redirected pleasure. Are you with me? We're going to get into this a little bit. People need to know what we know. How many have found God to be very pleasurable? Come on. And He knows that this world is not pleasurable. So the only place you're going to find the real pleasure is in Him. Because we try to find temporary pleasure. Come on. You know. Nothing wrong with going to Six Flags or going on vacation and hanging out at the beach, but how many have discovered that God is the ultimate high? The reason people are getting stoned is because they haven't discovered the new wine yet. These are not drunken as you suppose. This was what was prophesied by Joel, the prophet. We have been privileged to taste of the living water, amen, of His presence, and to experience a taste of the world to come, even the powers of the world to come. But God wants us to understand that that's what's going to sustain you. Does the Bible not say the joy of the Lord is your
strength?
How do you feel when we've had a good time of worship here? You walk out, you're just ready to tackle the world. You get out of your prayer closet, you know, you've had time with Jesus, you're ready to face the world. God wants you to experience His pleasures. So we're gonna get into that a little bit more. And some people will think it's heresy now to speak this way. But what it is the devil has duped a lot of believers. And they become unbelieving believers, if there's a such thing. They have been miserable. Come on. I'm not talking about this church, of course, but sometimes you look out. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And you look on their faces like, yeah, lemon sucking Christians, right? How many know that is not what God has intended for them? Amen. God wants us, amen, to go from, there are times and there are seasons where we grieve. There are times and seasons of difficulty. Come on. But what that should do is drive us to God and not away from Him. Drive ourselves deeper into Him. Go up a little higher. If you're struggling with something, if depression's trying to get on you, go a little higher. Press in. Press breakthrough. Amen. Get into heavenly realms. Glory to God. And then we get contagious. There are those squirrely people, right, Jerry? Ooh. Hallelujah. I'm just happy in Jesus. I know that there's a place of refuge. Yeah. It's not a place of sorrow. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures. Forevermore. Whew. We're going to get a hold of this and we're going to go higher and deeper and farther. And when people come in, they're going to say, wow, man, that church. Man, I can't wait to... People are saying that now. They're saying, I can't wait to go to church. It ain't about us, it's about Him. But if you and I will seek Him, it's going to be a place all of us want to come to. Amen? And we'll get the job done, folks, when we're in that place. Come on. Because the world don't want stale, stagnant Christianity. Amen? They don't want an impotent Christianity. They want something that's real. They want something that's vibrant, that's living. I came that you might have life. So we want life. And the world is looking for life. It's exciting. And the awesome thing is that God has opened the heaven. We don't have to look for a portal, folks. Wherever you go is an open portal. You have access. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 6 tonight. I think I got it right? Yeah. Okay. This book is blowing my mind, I want to tell you what. And I knew it when I started into it. I said, this is going to be a challenge. But you know what? There's a lot of people that will avoid it. And I've avoided it for years. And I've taught out of it. But I haven't taught all the way from cover to cover of Revelation. And that's what I'm endeavoring to do by the help of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1, chapter 6. 1 through 17. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me today to teach your word. Spirit of truth, reveal to us all what you want us to know and understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This first seal, verse 1, opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. It doesn't say anything about arrows. It just says a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Who is the white horse? The Antichrist. It's not Jesus. Now, we know about the white horse, don't we? Revelation 19 talks about this white horse that Jesus will ride on. But I want us to take a look at this. It was a bow with no arrows. And interestingly enough, Satan always tries to duplicate what God does. Remember, Egypt had its demon-possessed magicians? Moses, you know, was Aaron to cast the rod down? And then they said, "Well, that's a cheap musician's, you know, magician's trick." And so they called on their magicians, and they also threw down their rods as well, and they turned into serpents. However, what we saw happen was what? Rod of God swallowed up the rest of them. Amen. And I believe that's prophetic as well. But what we see is that there are duplications of what God does. And the problem has become in many circles that people have been so afraid of a counterfeit that they don't operate in the real. And that it's precisely what the enemy wants to do, is he wants to shut down the gifts of the Spirit. The enemy is not afraid, he's not worried about a sterile church, a powerless church. But a church that moves in the Holy Spirit, that moves in the power of God, he's afraid of, because he knows that that people that are in cooperation with the Holy Spirit will destroy his works. So he's going to leave you alone if you're stagnant, you're stale, you're lukewarm. Usually he'll just let you be a lukewarm Christian. Except for the grace of God and the Father who steps in at times and messes you up in a good way. Messes me up in a good way. And so the devil is a liar and he's a counterfeit. And he copies what God does. He also distorts things. You know? He perverts things. And he fakes, again, the work of God. So we need to pray for discernment, that we will be able to discern what is of God and what is not. There are a lot of people who don't have any knowledge of God in the Word. They don't spend any time learning of Him, that they may know Him, so that they don't have anything to judge it by, the work that they see or the word that they hear. How many would agree it's important that we study to show ourselves approved, that we would not be ashamed? And so this false Christ shows up here, and he's got a bow in his hands. Okay, Jesus is coming with what? A sword. The sword of the Spirit. The fiery darts of the wicked one, you know? They come against us all the time. We're getting hit, amen? That's why we must have the shield of faith. We must be on guard against those things. But there's no weapons. There's no arrows, interesting enough here. Just the bow. And why do you suppose that would be? You have any ideas why that is? Why is it just a bow and no arrows?
Cold War.
Cold War. Interesting. Okay?
He doesn't really have the power to do it. He's just using fear to intimidate.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's manipulation. It's control. It's deception at the highest level. The enemy is a deceiver. What he does is he tries to convince even believers, come on, that he is to be feared. We need to fear God. Amen? Not in a sense that we're afraid of him, but that we realize who's in charge. Amen? Papa's in charge. Amen? You come home, you know Papa's there. He'll love you. He'll give you a hug if you had a good father, right? He'll treat you right. But if you mess up, you're going to get a spanking because he loves his kid too much just to let him run amok. So we have a godly fear of our Father, and that we know Papa God loves me so much. He's got only good in store for me. He's got a plan for my life. He's got a future and a hope for me. But he's also one that I need to respect and I need to honor his name. Amen? In the earth. So this false Christ riding on this white horse, you mentioned it, you know, the thought that occurred to me was the same, is that the enemy really does not have what it takes to take you and I out apart from deception. He cannot make a believer do anything. He can only lie and deceive, you know, use trickery to get us to listen to him. And when we listen to him, then he usurps our authority and uses it against us. Isn't that what he did with Adam? He usurped his authority and then he used it against him. He's been using it ever since. Until Jesus, the last Adam, came and dealt with that. And it says he has spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show over them and triumphing over them in the cross. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and preach the gospel. Who has all authority? Jesus. However, if we don't have the understanding of that, if we don't have that knowledge of God, then the enemy is very crafty and he knows how to use deception to get people to just fall right into his trap. Some of you probably remember this, but cast a demon out of a girl one time. And this was a girl, I want you to hear this. This was a girl who one time was on fire for God. Was going to Bible college. Went to Bible college for a year. Got into a relationship, an ungodly relationship. Started messing around, got into sin. Came in one day, distraught. Just, you know, the world coming down on her. She looked really bad, like death warmed over, you know. And she came in And immediately after the service, she came up. She needed prayer. We started praying for her. And I want to tell you what, it was ugly. It got ugly real fast. And it was real. There was manifestation. There was the growling and the whole thing going on. And this was a Christian girl who had backslidden. And after we cast the devil out of her, and we prayed that she get filled with the Holy Spirit, she made an interesting comment. She said, the devil had convinced me that the devil, that he's greater than God, that he has more power than God. We have young people, amen? Not just young people, older people too, but young people that are growing up in the churches. They never see any reality of this kingdom. It's all about a flannel graph Jesus, amen? And Bible stories and things that happened in, but it's a sterile Christianity. And they come to a place in their life where they realize that I need more than what I've been getting. And if they don't have it, and if it's not presented to them, if they don't get the full gospel, then they're going to look elsewhere. And I've said this before, but there was a statistic, they say that 80% of young people that get into Satanism came out of Christian churches. 8 out of 10. Not that they hadn't had exposure to it. And you know what? God's not to blame for that. Amen? We, His people, need to come into agreement with the Holy Spirit, not allow the intimidation and control of men to tell us how we're going to walk and live this life. We need to agree with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, whatever You say, we're going to say. Whatever You do, we're going to do. Where You send us, we're going to go. Amen? If You say, cast out demons, we're going to do it. You say, heal the sick, we're going to do it. And when they see the reality of the kingdom, and they see those demons are subject to the name of Jesus, then there's no contest. But this girl thought that the devil was greater than Jesus. See, that's what lukewarm Christianity can do. God hates it. And so the counterfeit, the devil, through deception, deceives people to believing that he is greater than God. Isn't that what he wanted from the very beginning? To exalt his throne above God's, amen? And to be worshipped by God's creation. I believe the devil was jealous of Adam. In the beginning, he was jealous of this new man that God had given dominion over the earth. And he wanted it, obviously, because he knew that if I could get him to just listen to me, I can usurp that authority from him. Because he knew that once he did that, he violated God's commandment to worship him only. That commandment hadn't changed. That was from the very beginning. You shall have no other gods. That was a no-brainer, right? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18 says that there are many antichrists in the world. We know that that antichrist is coming. And even now he said there are many antichrists in the world. 2 verse 18. I think that's right. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So we know that there's a plural, amen? There are many antichrists. Of course, anti meaning against, right? Against Christ or in place of. Jesus told us that in Matthew chapter 24, that there would be many false Christs and they would be doing counterfeit, lying signs and wonders and miracles. Okay, now, this counterfeit Christ is going to conquer the world through diplomatic, peaceful means. He's going to use deception to do it. Because he can't just do it any other way unless he can get people to believe him and to bow down to him. So, he's going to rule by peace, initially. How many remember Hitler, right? Hitler was a type, I believe, of the Antichrist. He was the answer to everybody's problem. Germany had been humiliated through World War I, and you know, there was, the economy had collapsed. There was nothing. They were starving. This guy shows up as a breath of fresh air. He brought some pride back to the people. And Hitler was very close, I believe, to what the world ruler, dictator, Antichrist will look like. Many people thought Hitler was the Antichrist, because there was a lot of things pointing to the fact he was an Antichrist, for sure. But he's going to do this through slick diplomacy, through peaceful means. He's going to bring a false peace. He's going to eventually, there's going to be a peace agreement with Israel. And we'll get into that a little bit further on. But we are living, I believe, in the very last of the last days. And there are many who believe that he's here on the earth today, right now. This Antichrist, the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the man of sin. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 3, that many false Christs would arise and deceive many. We'll begin at verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." So in this case, people are saying that I am Jesus. We've already seen a lot of that, haven't we? I mean, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. We know that if somebody comes on the scene and says, "I'm Jesus," we're not going to follow him.
No way.
Okay. But it amazes me how many educated, intelligent people follow people that claim to be Jesus. You know, it's not the poor and uneducated only. It's people from all walks of life are following after all kinds of false Christs. And often it's because the false Christs, or these demon-possessed people, are manifesting demonic power, and so they see a miracle, a healing, or something of that nature, and people begin to believe it. It must be God, or it must be Jesus. Who else could do that? Sometimes it's because they've never seen anything in the church. They hear people talking about it. Oh, we can teach. Our theology is right on. It's impeccable. We can teach all about what God does. But it's a whole different matter to step out and see God doing it. But the just shall live by faith. Faith is operating in a place that is bigger than us. It's beyond us. It's believing God for something that is impossible, humanly speaking, that he will do. Because he's a miracle-working God. And he wants to show up, and he wants to let the people know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen? He is alive, bearing witness to the resurrection. So many will come in my name, verse 5, saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. And verse 24, "For false Christs and false prophets," here's plural, "will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible," listen, "even the elect." Now I know that, or those who believe the elect refers to just national Israel, to the Jew. But I believe that people are being deceived, even followers of Jesus are being deceived today. Many people who get into these cults began well. Most of them did not start out wrong. And most of them had a good intent, I believe. But what happens is the pride of life sometimes. The enemy works through our pride. And it begins to, even sometimes through other people, well-meaning people, they begin to exalt, you know, these men or these women. We have to be careful about that. We want to encourage one another. But we don't exalt man. We exalt Jesus. Amen? And the enemy begins to work on people, and they begin to think that maybe I am a little bit above the rest, you know? Richard Dortch wrote a book, I don't know if anybody ever read it years ago, called Fatal Conceit. He was the president of, I think, PTL when that whole scandal went down. And he was. He started out as a man of integrity. And he repented later, but he got caught up in the scandal where they were taking people's money. And they got caught. Ended up going to jail for it. But he says, what happened is people kept putting me on this pedestal, and I started to believe it after a while. And then I started to live above things. My integrity, you know, took a back seat. And he began to think that he could just do whatever he wanted and get away with it. The enemy had so deceived even a great man of God like Richard Dorch. And today he is walking with Jesus, and he's doing a prayer thing on television. He's got a show where he prays for people. I've seen him. But we need to be careful, because the enemy is so slick. He's a counterfeiter. He's been at it a long time. And the only way that you and I can counter that is the Word of God, amen, and the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives us. I mean, I've seen some stuff that looks so close. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians, you know, they run around to all these conferences. And I'm not opposed to conferences, but you got to be careful about who you're allowing to lay hands on you too. Just because they do a miracle doesn't mean they're necessarily of God, operating in that spirit. And one of the telltale signs of a false Christ is that they're always talking about me, 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 putting themselves in that place. Are you with me? Jesus said that too, right? If another man comes in his own name, you'll receive him. He's talking to his people. And he's actually prophesying about the Antichrist when he said that. But he was also talking about how they would receive false prophets. And then when the truth, Jesus, showed up, they weren't having anything to do with him. They weren't listening to him. He says, if I come in my Father's name, you don't receive me. But if another man comes in his own name, him you're receiving. You know, these celebrity magicians and Chris Angels and some of these people that are, you know, doing these things that I believe they've stepped over that line, folks. It's not all magician sleight of hand. They're incorporating the occult into it. I had a young man, it was in our church back in Massachusetts that we were at for a short time when I was doing the nursing home. And he was a Christian kid, grew up in the church, turned away from God, you know, in the same type of situation, got heavily into witchcraft and Satanism. At the highest levels, he got really deep into that stuff. And one night, in a drunken, demon-possessed frenzy, him and his friends literally lit themselves on fire with lighters. They were burning their arms and literally roasting their flesh. And that's how deep and how far they had gone, and how much the devil had taken control of them. Both arms, you can look at his arms, they're just all scarred up from this. But he got caught up into something that at first the devil had convinced him that he had control of. Isn't that what he does? He tells people, you know, these demons are subject to you. Well, if that is true, why do people who worship them always appease them? Why do they always have to bring them an offering or do something to appease them when their child is sick? It's because the demon is greater than the person, obviously. And so what they do is they just lure them in little by little through deception. Until they come to a place, you know, where they are completely just taken over. They're totally possessed. And then you got people like that that are, you know, that are murdering people and saying that God told them to do that. That's how bad it can get. I know we need to pray for protection over our lives, over our families every day. But these counterfeit signs and wonders have deceived many people. And now that they've stepped into these things, these magicians are getting into this stuff now, that people are just, they're looking for signs. They're looking for, and you know why I believe that is? Is because God has put it in every man's heart to have a natural curiosity for spiritual things. Why? Because we are spirits in a body. Therefore, it's really normal for us to have a desire for supernatural things. How many would agree with me tonight? Make me feel good by agreeing. That God understands that we do have an interest in the supernatural. And that God is not opposed to that. Why? He's supernatural. You know, I've been in circles before where they had everything in theory, but as soon as God does something, it's supernatural. Oh, I don't know about that. That must be demonic. Like the devil has a monopoly on the supernatural. No. Wherever there is a counterfeit, there is the real. Amen? Where there is the real, there's the counterfeit. So we just need to know what is real and what is not. We need discernment. We need to pray that God would reveal to us, what is it, Lord? Is this of you? Don't jump into stuff right away. Take some time on it. Think on it. Pray on it before you receive it. I've had known people that have gone to conferences and they've been prayed over, and after that they've had a mess. They got something. They got something all right. And folks, I want you to hear something. Sometimes we get lazy and we want to go around and we want somebody else to teach us all the time. And so we don't take the time to study and learn ourselves. And so what happens is, because people don't have any kind of basis or base or understanding of the word, there are a lot of things that sound right. And they're spiritual, and maybe there are manifestations attached to it that they feel that's of God. Let me just say this about what's going on in this church. This is the real deal. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. And I can say that is because we are worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen? We are worshiping the living God. And whenever you worship Him and you give praise and you lift up Jesus, guess what? You get the real thing. Whenever you start exalting a man or exalting yourself, watch out. So if God does anything through us, amen? We give Him the glory. We give Him the praise for it. We don't go around saying, I did this, I did that. Even though you might have done that. And you know, it's okay that sometimes the Lord will say, you did well, son. You know, He would encourage you in that. But be very careful that you always return the glory to God. If somebody comes up and thanks you for something that God used you to do in their life, it's okay to say thank you. But you always say, Lord, I give you the glory for it. I give you the praise. Make sure they know. Amen. It's not about us. It's about making Jesus known. The people need Jesus. They don't need me. They need Jesus. Hallelujah. But they need the Jesus that's in me. And they need the Jesus that's in you. Hallelujah. In Daniel 9:27, it says that the Antichrist will come to power through an international peace pact. And I touched on that already. We'll do more into that later on. And also, if you turn to Daniel chapter... let's not do that tonight. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here it talks about this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 1, just get in context. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter. How many know that there are spirits that they go around masquerading as angels of light? Sometimes they're beautiful to behold, and people think, wow, an angel appeared to me. Well, it could be an angel from God, but you need to test the spirits. But he said, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. There was people circulating rumors that they had missed out on the rapture. Jesus had come, they'd missed it. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Apostasy happens first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there's a whole sermon right here on this. And we don't have time to go into it, but I want to just touch on that real quick. Don't think that it's just specifically talking about a physical temple. There will be a rebuilt temple. They're working on it right now. They're bringing together the elements, the utensils. They're looking for the ark. They believe they know where the Ark of the Covenant is. They have full plans to rebuild another temple, a temple in Israel. Okay? And it says that the Antichrist will sit in that temple as though he is God. But don't think that this is referring only to that physical temple. Because the Lord showed me this. He said, before anything happens in the natural, things are happening in the spiritual. What you see happening in the natural is a result of something in the spiritual.
Amen.
You see good in the world and you see evil in the world. It's bearing witness to something that's invisible. Would you agree? It says that this son of perdition, this Antichrist, or in place of Christ, will set himself, what? In the temple of God. I want you to hear this. Who is the temple of God? Okay. There's going to be, I believe, and Jesus talked about it. Even the elect could be deceived. Another Jesus. Mankind has always been, what God has desired for mankind is to dwell in him, okay? So people are temples. We're either going to be the temple of the devil or the temple of God. Are you with me? And so what he wants to do is he wants to introduce a false Christ, a different Jesus, and he wants people to accept a different Jesus other than the Jesus of the Bible by little twists and perversions, amen, of Scripture, or a Jesus that we fashion to fit ourselves, because I don't necessarily want to, I don't like the way Jesus did things, so I'm going to, to me, Jesus is like this. Because that's kind of like, well, I see it like this. That's good if Jesus is like that. My Jesus is going to be like what I, you know, what I want him to be. And that is idolatry in the heart. When we fashion a God to suit ourselves. And when we do that, we're setting ourselves up to receive a different Jesus. And he will set himself up in a person, and they will think that they have Jesus, and they could be demon-possessed. There are people, I believe, who are demon-possessed who think God is talking to them. Come on. You're seeing more and more of that. Amen. God told me. No, not my God wouldn't tell you to do that. I ran into a guy downtown the other day that about bit my head off. He said his God was Yahweh. And I said, hey, that's my God too. Because I was talking to him a little bit. And next thing you know, he's like, blankety blank, 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 blank. His demon starts manifesting out of him, you know. And so in his mind, he had the true God. But obviously he did not. Because I told him, I said, that ain't my God. I said, my God don't talk like that.
All right. Amen.
Have a nice day. And I bound that spirit. Jesus, get out of here. Don't. With one eye open all the time, watching him. He had a big stick too. What I'm trying to say is that there's a false spirit that very closely resembles the real. And people are opening themselves up to things today. And there are other folks, there are a lot of gospels out there. Come on. You can pick and choose whatever gospel you want today. You can turn on the television, you can get this gospel and or that gospel. And some of them are so out of balance, it's just pathetic. They don't bring it into balance. They don't teach the full counsel. They just teach what people want to hear. Now, there are promises in God's Word, and God is a God that can prosper you for the purpose of advancing His kingdom. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have other people that they're all fire and brimstone, and they're beating people over the head with the Word. Come on. That's not what Jesus. That's not the message that Jesus came with. He said, I did not come to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the hearts. And I had somebody recently call me and they said, you know, I've been coming here for a while and, you know, I'm not always living right, but you know what I'm discovering? Is that God is just relentless. God doesn't give up on me. And He just keeps forgiving me. And what's happening is Jesus is drawing her by His love. Yeah. Folks, it has got to be the love of God that draws us. Otherwise, our worship is hypocritical. You can't love a God that you're so afraid of, you're afraid He's going to kill you. Are you with me? What kind of God do you love? You love a God who you know is madly in love with you. We love Him because He first. Because we come to the revelation that God is in love with me. And because of that, out of relationship and out of respect and honor for my Father, I listen to Him, I obey Him. I don't obey Him because He's going to clobber me. I obey Him because I love Him. Because I know how good He is. And how pleasurable it is to be with my Father. And to have His favor in my life. So what kind of gospel? That's why we need to stick to the Word. Amen? And don't assume that everybody that's speaking is speaking for God. The Bible says in 1 John, let that anointing that you received teach you. That same anointing that you received, let that teach you. Listen to that still small voice, that voice in your heart that says, be careful, little ears, what you hear. When you hear something and something's not lining up, you're not having peace about that thing, you know, pray about it. It could be that the Lord is warning you about something. But if you're hearing something and there's life in it, I want you to hear it. It's pregnant with life. It quickens you. It strengthens you. It builds you up. That's my Jesus. Amen. How many know God wants to build you up, not tear you down? God came to restore, not destroy. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. And He came back to restore us back into right relationship with Him as sons and daughters and a love relationship. Hallelujah. Father God, thank You for the Word tonight.